You see what I mean?
Leo said.
That is so crazy you wouldn't have believed me unless I showed it to you in a book.
He and I, Archibald, Tullia, and Barb were all sitting around the big table at Schuff's Dowment. Praxic Age Exoatmospheric Weapon Systems was sprawled out like an autopsy. We were looking at a double-ended foldout. It had taken us a quarter of an hour just to get the thing unfurled without tearing the ancient leaves. Real paper made in a factory. We were looking at a huge, exquisitely detailed diagram of a spaceship. At one end, it sported a proper nose cone, as a rocket should. Everything else about it looked weird. It did not have engines, per se. At the aft end, where the nozzle bells of a proper rocket ought to be, there was instead a broad, flat disc, looking like a pedestal on which the vessel might be stood upright. Forward of that were several stout columns that ran up to what I assumed was the spaceship proper, the family of rounded pressure vessels sheltered beneath that nose cone.
Shock absorbers, Leo said, pointing to the columns, except bigger.
He drew our attention to a tiny hole in the center of the big disc astern.
This is where it would spit out the atomic bombs, one after another.
That's the part I still can't get my mind to accept.
Have you ever heard of those deolaters who walk barefoot over hot coals to show that they have supernatural powers?
He looked over toward the hearth. We had lit a fire there. Not that we needed one. We had a couple of windows cracked open to admit a fresh, green-scented breeze that was blowing in over the young clover in the meadow. Sad songs were carried on that air. Most of the avowed were so shocked by the sixfold voco that to make music about it was all that they could do. Those of us in this room had another way to come to terms with our loss, but only because we knew things that the others didn't. We had lit the fire as soon as we had arrived, not to keep warm, but as a primitive way to get some comfort. It was what humans had done long before Canoas, long before even language, to claim a bit of space in a dark universe that they did not understand and that was wont to claim their family and friends suddenly and forever. Leo went over to that fire and assaulted a glowing log with a poker until he had knocked off several lumps of glowing charcoal. He raked one of these out onto the stones. It was about the size of a nut and red hot. I was already getting nervous.
Raz, he said, would you put this in your pocket and carry it around?
I don't have pockets, I joked.
No one laughed.
Sorry, I said. No, if I had a pocket, I would not put that into it.
Leo spat into the palm of his left hand, then put the fingertips of his right into the pool of saliva. He then used them to pick up that coal. There were sizzling noises. We cringed. He calmly tossed the coal back into the fire, then slapped his hot fingertips against his thigh a few times.
Slight discomfort, no damage, he announced. The noise was spit being vaporized by the heat of the coal. Now imagine that the plate on the back of that ship was coated with something that served the same purpose.
The same purpose as spit? Barb asked.
Yes. It was vaporized by the plasma from the atomic bombs, and as it expanded into space, it would spank that plate. The shock absorbers would even out the impact and turn it into steady thrust so that the people up at the forward end would feel nice, smooth acceleration.
It's just hard to imagine being that close to an atomic bomb going off, Tullia said. And not just one, but a whole series of them.
Her voice sounded pretty raw. All of ours did, except for Barb's. He'd been perusing the book earlier.
They were special bombs, really tiny, he said,
making a circle of his arms to show their size.
Designed not to blow out in all directions, but to spew a lot of plasma in one direction toward that ship.
I, too, find it unfathomable,
Archibald volunteered.
But I vote we suspend our disbelief and move forward. The evidence is before us in this,
he gestured toward the book,
and this.
He rested his hand on the sheet that Ayla had pinpricked the day before. Then he looked stricken. I think he had seen something on my face, or Tullia's, or both. For us, this leaf was now like one of the mementos of bygone saints that the avowed cherished in reliquaries.
Perhaps, Archibald said, it is too early for us to have this discussion. Perhaps
it's too late, I said, which earned me a grateful look from Tullia and seemed to settle it for everyone.